This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. All right, our message for this session is a message that was first published in the month of December of the year 2013, and it's being put on audio in the month of November of 2024. And our subject scripture for this session is found in St. John chapter 8, verse number 32. And this is Jesus Christ speaking, and He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And our title for this message is, "The Truth is Out There." And this is part number three, or the final part of our three-part message. Now, when I left off last month, I said I would give you some examples of just what we are doing wrong and show you the consequences of those actions. As I mentioned earlier, it makes no difference what you or I might think the truth is. It all boils down to one thing, and that is it something that can stand the test of time? To stand the test of time, it has to be able to remain constant, providing the same evidence as to its existence throughout eternity without change. Much of what we as humans consider to be the truth is temporary, meaning it is subject to change over the years. Consequently, what we may have accepted in the past as being the truth about something may today be proven to be have been either built on a half-truth or an outright lie because we didn't have all the facts. As time went on and we discovered more information concerning those issues, we changed our way of thinking and upgraded our ideas to go along with it. However, even in that instance, the truth was already there, but for whatever reason, usually because of ignorance or lack of evidence, it went unnoticed. I started out talking about the notion that the earth was flat and the idea that blacks weren't human as an example of the pervasiveness of ignorance that was in the past and still is today. All of these things are the result of man formulating opinions based on faulty information. By that, I mean the information that is or was incomplete. Now, just about everything we do in our lives every day is based on what we believe to be the best thing for us. But problem is, despite what the scientists, politicians, social activists, and all the other elite and educated among us might say, they are woefully misleading people to their own destruction because of not being able or not wanting to deal with anything that shows them that they are not as knowledgeable as they want us to believe that they are. We are always willing to accept as truth anything that makes us feel good about ourselves. By the same token, we will always reject anything that makes us feel bad about ourselves. It is human nature. So we would rather believe a lie and call it the truth than to accept the truth. This is why we are in the mess that we are in the world, this nation, and especially the black community. We don't want to deal with the truth. As Jack Nicholson's character in the movie A Few Good Men proclaimed to Tom Cruise's character, when Cruise demanded to know the truth, he proclaimed, "You can't handle the truth." No truer words have ever been spoken. We all proclaim we want to know the truth, but in reality, we only want it if it doesn't paint us in a bad light. For those that really want to know the truth, there is only one source from which to draw it, and that is the Word of God, the Bible. Everything that is right and wrong in this world has at its root either acceptance or rejection of God's directions for our lives, period. If we accept it, we will be blessed. If we reject it, we will suffer. This is a truth that has, is, and will always be the case. It will not change. You can take that to the bank, as they say. Hence, every problem we are facing is because we are going against what God says. As far as this nation is concerned, if we go into the Old Testament of the Bible and read the history of the rise and fall of all of the different nations recorded there, you will find a direct correlation with the fact that when they followed God's commandments, they were essentially the most prosperous and blessed people on the earth. They couldn't even be defeated in battle, even when they were outnumbered 1,000 to 1. On the other hand, when they turned their backs on God and started following their own way, their fortunes did a 180 and they were destroyed. The key here is this: they knew what God said was right and wrong. Therefore, when they chose to go against God, they suffered more so than those nations that had not even known him or never knew him. When we consider how this nation, from its beginning, had a divine design of acknowledging God and his rules in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we became like those nations of the past. We became the most prosperous and strongest nation in the world. However, as time marched on, we slowly began to get away from those rules, and as a result, just like those nations in the past, we are slowly being destroyed. In each case, it was the policies of those in power that set the stage for what happened to those nations. Back in the biblical times, the majority of those kings were in that position because they inherited it from their parents, they conquered the nation, or through treachery. However, in the United States, it is the people that choose our leaders, which means the people hold the blame for what the leaders of the nation do. We are directly responsible, and therefore God sees it as our, the people's, choice to accept or reject his rules. So the people will reap the consequences of those choices. Now, in this nation, not all the people voted for those that are in control, and as a result, when God's punishment comes on the people, those that did not vote for those with an anti-God agenda would be isolated from the trouble. Consequently, when God's blessings fall on a nation because of God-fearing leaders, those that oppose them will end up not sharing in the blessings. This is one of the reasons that we have what we call a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots. With all things being equal, it is usually the have-nots that throw their support behind those that have intentions to enact policies that go contrary to the direction God wants us to follow. Let's take a look at the black community in this nation. Truth: over 90% of us support a political party exclusively, meaning they will not support the other party no matter what. That has an unquestioned history of supporting and promoting things that go totally against what God says. If God hates it, they support it. If God supports it, they go against it. I have said this party over 90% of the black community supports is at war with Christ. This means the black community is at war with Christ. No other community in this nation comes close to that sort of support. So what is the consequence of this type of loyalty to a party that is at war with Christ? We are the most cursed people in this nation. Statistically, if it is good, we rank at the very bottom of the list. On the other hand, if it is bad, we rank at the very top of the list. What this shows is the truth of God's word in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. But as I mentioned, we don't want to accept that, even though most of us that support this party are Christians. So what we have is black Christians joining in with a party that is at war with the Christ that they claim to be following. Mind you, it is Christians that are supposed to set the standard for every one of us. And in the case of the black community, we essentially are making fools out of ourselves. We are a laughingstock. Oh, I forgot. I shouldn't be saying anything negative about the black community. I need to look at the good in the black community. That is the problem. Rather than dealing with the truth, we want to paint over it or act as if it doesn't exist. If you don't face and deal with a problem, it will always be there. God says the heart of a man is wicked, as was mentioned earlier. Man says we are good. God says the ways of a child are foolishness, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15. Man says they are cute, talking about the children. God says murderers should surely be put to death, Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse number 6. Man says it is immoral. Leading the way in all of this is black preachers who go out of the and rail against anyone that dares to say anything against the black community as being either racist if they are white, or a house Negro if they are black. So we continue to suffer, and all that these black preachers can come up with is that it is the fault of racist Republicans, when it is the Republicans that are, for the most part, following the guidelines of Christ. If we look at those cities and states in this nation that are Republican strongholds, they are all prospering despite what is happening around them. If we look at those cities and states that are Democrat strongholds, they are at or near bankruptcy. Why is that? The truth of God's word. Let's look at some other examples of the foolishness that this nation is engaging in. We started teaching sex education in the public schools to reduce the number of teen pregnancies that were occurring. The result? It increased over 400%, and we began to see preteens engaging in it. Sex education should be left to the parents and the church, period. We used to have prayer in the public schools along with the posting of the Ten Commandments. We removed both of them. Now our public schools have become war zones and a failure in educating our kids to be productive members of society. The public schools, as a direct challenge to God, started teaching the theory of evolution, not as a theory, but as a fact. This theory states that man evolved from animals and was not created by God. The result, today our children are behaving like the wild animals they have been taught that they came from. In the case of abortion, the number one thing that God hates, because it is a direct attack on his design for that child. Read Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 5. He is forming in the womb, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 2. Each child has a special purpose to accomplish in this world that only God knows. It may be to discover a cure for cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, or any one of the other thousands of things that plague humanity, and it gets aborted. There goes a missed opportunity, and God will let us suffer for a while before he attempts to send another child with the solution. This nation has killed over 78 million. Now the 78 million is the number as it is today. Back when I wrote this, it was 64 million babies. Well, it's up to 78 million now. Has killed over 78 babies since abortion became legal. God's response to that is, he is allowing the children that we have with us today to be gunned down in the streets, to be killed in accidents, to die of diseases that are once relegated to the elderly, like heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, and others, as well as dying from drug overdoses. And since the Democratic Party is the number one supporter of it, and the black community is the number one supporter of this party, then guess whose kids are dying at higher levels than other communities? As I said, these are but a few of the myriad of things that I could talk about, but you should get the point if you are not mentally challenged. Oh, there I go again, acting like I'm trying to be politically correct. The truth is, you would have to be a complete moron not to see it. Truth is what it is, and it can't be changed. It was here before the beginning, and it will be here for eternity. When I hear people, especially scientists and such, talking about their new discoveries and how they proclaim that it is something that they have spent years and millions, if not billions of dollars on to get that far, I have to laugh. The reason being that all these discoveries could have come to us a lot earlier and cheaper if only we had been following God's directions as outlined in the Bible. Even when it comes to other religious beliefs, the truth is right there in front of our face. The Bible gives us example after example of nations that followed after other gods being destroyed, while those that adhered to the laws of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prospered. Today the same holds true. Those other people that put their faith in other gods consistently look to this nation, or rather they did, for help. But as many of them came to this nation seeking a better life, they brought those same beliefs here and petitioned our government to turn away from our Christian beliefs because they were offended. So we did, and now we are suffering. And rather than saying enough is enough, rather than make them feel bad about putting their faith in a God that is a failure to them, we embrace them and let them feel as if we are their friends. Problem is, we can't be friends with them without being an enemy of Christ. There is only one God and one Christ and one truth. Like it or not, you either abide by what he says or you pay the price. I don't care if it is the 30th century. What God said over 6,000 years ago holds true today. That is why it is the truth. You can either live by it or be destroyed by it, but you can't have it both ways. It is one or the other. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Which do you want? Well, that is the end of our three-part series on The Truth Is Out There. And I trust that you've gotten a lot out of this message. Like I say, it's basically just scratching the surface, really. But there's so much depth into even the simple things that God has to say about how we live our lives, what he likes and dislikes and so forth, that, quite frankly, we don't really have an excuse not to believe his word and live by it. All of these little phony ideas that we come up with and solutions that work for a minute and then they turn around and end up causing us bigger problems, all because of what? Because we don't want to accept the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When you go to trial in a court of law, supposedly, when they put you, whether you a witness or not, and you come to stand up there to be questioned before the judge and things, and they get put that Bible out there to you and say, do you promise, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God? And you say, I do. Well, the justice system can only work properly if people are dealing with the truth. But, you know, when you've got people who can take the truth and twist it up, tangle it up, color it this way, that way, disguise it, call themselves debunking it by coming up with a lie and calling that the truth or calling it facts, then you see where the problem lies. And the only way that you can get around it, you have to know the truth yourself. And the only truth, like the message says, the only truth that there is the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now notice that part. He said, I am the truth. So you got to know the truth. You got to know Jesus Christ. If you do that, then you follow his directions as to how to live your life, and he will reward you with the ability to be able to see far beyond what these educated elite people come up with, trying to get you to buy into what they're selling, which is nothing but a bunch of manure. So with that being said, I'm going to close this message out today, and I hope that you have gotten something from it. And because of the period of time, or the month that we're in here, just in case you're reading this around December or something like that, here's hoping that you and your families have a very Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. But you can only really do that if you are walking in the truth of God's Word. So until then, good day, and God bless you till we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.